the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
This is the way these boys and girls can hop and skip and play. But when their teachers call to them, they listen and obey. This is the way these boys and girls can find a place to hide. But when their mothers call to them, they quickly come inside. This is the way these boys and girls can climb a tree so tall. But they come climbing down again when they hear Daddy call.
Sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible and Living Sound.
Well, my chief ruler, we won. We got rid of Felix.
Oh, Felix was all right himself. I think it was Princess Drusilla, his Israelite wife, who was against us. Felix would have let us have Paul if it hadn't been for her.
Now we have Porcius Festus to deal with. Being a new governor, I think he will do all he can, anything, to please us Israelites. He knows we can get rid of him as we did Felix.
But Festus has higher ideals than Felix. He had none at all.
Mm, well, Festus will be here to make friends with us in a few days. You see if he doesn't.
Well and good. But being a new governor, as you said, he will likely be extremely careful about doing anything contrary to the laws of Rome, such as letting us try Paul here in Jerusalem. That is what you had in mind.
I'm going to say something about Paul casually. Then, just as casually, ask Festus as a favor to send for Paul so we can give him a fair trial.
Oh, but he will never reach Jerusalem. You will have men waylay him along the road and murder him.
I am the high priest of all Israel. You are a chief ruler. And you say that I will be a party to murder? I wouldn't think of it. But there will be robbers and thieves and murderers waiting for Paul.
It's been nice meeting and talking to you and the others. I'm sure we are going to get along just fine.
I'm sure of it too, Festus, Your Excellency.
There is one more thing I'd like to talk about. A prisoner.
Oh, a prisoner?
His name is Paul. I understand you and your people accused him over 2 years ago. Now, something should be done, either convict or release him.
Paul? Paul? Yes, now I remember. It wasn't a very important case, as I recall. Mm-hmm. Governor Felix didn't dispose of the case before he left?
No. Paul is still in prison.
Oh, I'm remembering more and more about that case. Why don't you send for him so the Sanhedrin can try him, save you the trouble? I know you must be busy trying to get things in shape.
I'm afraid I can't do that. It is not customary for the Romans to deliver a man to die before he has been formally accused of some crime and has had the chance to defend himself face to face before his accusers.
He'll be tried before the Sanhedrin, a body of men famous for their fair and just decisions of guilt or innocence.
If you wish to charge him with a crime, it will have to be in my court in Caesarea. I'm going back there shortly. If there is any wickedness in Paul, and you wish to accuse him, send someone back with me, and I'll hear and judge the case.
Well, I just thought you'd be too busy to bother with such an unimportant case. But I'm happy that you'll take the time, Your Excellency, because I know you will be just and fair. I'll send someone with you. Well, I may even go myself. Festus wouldn't do it. We're going to have to go to Caesarea and try Paul before Festus. And remembering the defeat there under Felix, I feel the prospects aren't bright. Tertullus, have you any ideas?
Yes. Give up the whole idea.
What? And let Paul undermine everything we've ever stood for?
You don't care about that. Your motive in prosecuting Paul is to get rid of him because of your bigoted hatred and jealousy. Religiously, you are wrong. He is right. You know it, we all know it, and wrong cannot abide right.
I am the high priest, the highest authority in Israel. I say Paul has got to be put to death, and the Christian movement stopped now. Will you go to Caesarea and prosecute?
Do you have any real charges to file against him?
Well, of course! He defiles and desecrates the temple, the prophets, and me. He blasphemes everything holy. He incites riots.
Now, Your Highness, you're talking to me, not to the court. You know that I know these charges aren't true. They won't hold up in court. I was disgraced by defeat last time. I refuse to be defeated again. I am a professional orator and lawyer. My career will suffer. No. Unless you have a charge that will hold up under Roman law, I'm not going to handle the case.
Well, I'll handle it myself.
Well, I feel sorry for you. Paul was a student under Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of oratory and law Israel ever had. And Paul was his best student. Also, he has had considerable experience in defense work. He'll tear you to shreds.
Someone has to prosecute.
Drop the case.
Never!
Stubbornness, pure stubbornness and hatred.
Is everything in readiness, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
The accusers from Jerusalem all present?
Yes, sir, even the chief priest.
An unimportant case, huh? They must think I know nothing at all about the hatred between the old Israelite beliefs and the new. The prisoner has been brought up?
Yes, sir.
Announce my entrance.
Yes, sir.
Arise, ye people of Caesarea. His Excellency, Governor Festus, enters. Be seated. Your Excellency, the case before the court is the Israelite nation against Paul, the evangelist.
State your accusations.
And Your Excellency, this case is so important to the religious and civil existence of Israel that I thought it best to handle it myself. The case against the accused can be summed up in 5 points. First, he refuses to obey, and he teaches others to disobey the laws of Moses, which are the very foundation of Israel as a nation. Second, the prisoner boldly and openly incites riots between his followers and the true Israelites. Third, he takes Gentiles and other unclean people into the temple, thus defiling it. This is in direct disobedience to God's laws as given through Moses. Fourth, he openly disregards the ordinances and sacrifices ordered by God. And fifth, he has no regard for law and order, either Roman or Israelite. I recommend that His Excellency, the Governor, find the prisoner guilty and sentence him to death.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
What do you want, Carlos? I'm in a hurry.
I just wanted to know that I did what you told me to do.
That's unusual.
I started praying to God.
Well, who else would you pray to?
Wait, you don't understand. He's not listening. Kinda like you right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Talking to God is important, and I should listen to you, even if I am in a hurry. Why isn't God listening to you?
I don't know. I told him what I needed, and nothing happened. Like yesterday? I prayed that I'd get a good grade on my history test. I got a C-.
Did you study?
Well, yeah, a little. Well, not much. Okay, No.
And you thought God would just pop the answers into your head because why?
Because I asked. I asked nicely.
Carlos, God isn't Santa Claus. He doesn't come down the chimney and leave good grades lying around.
Dora, Santa Claus isn't real. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I know that. I'm saying that God doesn't just give you stuff. It's like my dad tells me. When you ask God for something, he doesn't say yes or no. He usually says, here's how. After you ask for a good grade, was there a little voice in your head saying, you might want to study your history lessons?
Hey, yeah, I heard that voice. Didn't listen.
Well, there you go. Next time you pray, sit and listen for a while. God's probably trying to tell you what you need to do. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Thanks, Dora. You're a good friend, even if you got an A on that test.
I listened.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Pretend now. Let's pretend we're quiet animals. We can tiptoe around in a circle. Shh.
about old Daniel praying from the lions. Then I heard about little David picking up five smooth stones. About old Joshua tearing down old Jericho. I heard about that battle when the sun stood still. I heard about old Samson waiting for his hair to grow. I heard about old Jonah learning to do God's will.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 6, A Light in the Night. For several hours, Mr. Vargas drove up the old highway, turning down side roads for a mile or two, then returning to the main road. Sometimes he stopped so Chris, Sammy, and Maria could get out and look down into deep canyons, hoping for a sign of a small black car. Finally, Mr. Vargas pulled off the road and parked in a wide area where people stopped to enjoy the view. "Anybody hungry?" he asked. "Not really, Dad," Chris said in a subdued voice. "I don't feel much like eating." "It's going to get dark soon," Maria said. "Won't we have to go home? We can't see anything anyway." "You never know what you'll see," Mr. Vargas said. "Let's get out and stretch our legs and eat the sandwiches. It's already after 7, and lunch was a long time ago." "Will we go up this road a little farther before we go home, Mr. Vargas?" Sammy asked. "I'd really like to." "We sure will," Mr. Vargas replied. "We won't quit until we're convinced they aren't on this road. I told your folks to expect us to be late. Now, while you kids eat, I'm going to contact the other searchers and see if there's any news." While Chris, Sammy, and Maria gathered around a picnic table to eat, Mr. Vargas sat in the car and talked on the CB radio. Soon he joined them. "They say no news is good news," he said. "No one has seen anything that even looked like that old black car." "Dad, can we go on now?" Chris asked softly. "It's getting dark, and I want to keep looking as long as we can." "Sure, son," Mr. Vargas said, giving Chris a quick hug. "I'm concerned, too. I'll drive, you look, and we'll all pray." Then he called to the others, "Let's go. Be sure to bring all the trash from your food. We don't want to leave anything behind." Mr. Vargas drove slowly on the old winding road. The kids shouted for him to stop often, thinking they saw something important. After each false alarm, they got back into the car a little more discouraged. Maria, who was in the front seat, suddenly yelled, "Watch out, Dad!" Mr. Vargas slammed on the brakes just in time to keep from hitting some large rocks in the road. The kids jumped out of the car to explore. "Look," Sammy shouted, "look at all the rocks and dirt on the road." "And look at those two big boulders," Maria added. "One thing's for sure, nobody could get through this road." "That's one big landslide," Mr. Vargas agreed as he joined them. "Maria, I'm glad you were helping me watch the road. With these curves and the darkness, it's impossible to see very far ahead." "Mr. Vargas," Sammy said in a strange voice. "Yes, Sammy?" "Do you think there would be a farmhouse down there?" Sammy was looking over the side of the road, down into the deep canyon. "There's something way down there that looks sort of lighted up. That seems funny." "Dad," Chris yelled as he joined Sammy, "there's another light. Look, you can barely make it out. Wait a minute. Dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. Dad, someone is signaling for help. That's SOS. "Maybe it's Willie," Sammy said. His voice was tense. "Willie," Sammy said, "it's got to be Willie." "Willie! Willie!" He jumped up and down as he hollered. Quick, Chris, Mr. Vargas ordered, get the flashlight and signal back. If it isn't Willie, it's someone else who needs help. Chris hurried back with a flashlight and began to flash it randomly. What shall I say? He asked. Find out if it's Willie, Maria cried. Chris sent a message several times, but the light below just kept signaling the same SOS call. Maybe, Sammy said, whoever it is can't see your light. Why don't we try the horn, Maria suggested. In the meantime, Mr. Vargas said, I'll get on the radio and let the sheriff know that somebody needs help. Chris reached into the car to get a tablet and a pencil. Here, Sammy, he said, I'll do the sending, and you write down the signals, if we get any back. Maria, come hold the flashlight for Sammy, then we can figure it out together. Ryan should see us now. Maybe he wouldn't think the Morse code was such a waste of time. Chris stood by the open car door and pushed on the horn. Honk! Honk, honk! What are you saying? Maria asked as Chris kept pushing the horn. What you said, sis, Chris replied. I'm simply asking who's down there. Sure wish I'd studied the punctuation marks, though. I hope they know I'm asking a question, even with no question mark. Chris continued to repeat his message. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Then the SOS from down in the canyon stopped. Dad? Chris said. Everyone could hear the worry in Chris's voice. Be patient, Chris, he said. If that is Willie down there, he doesn't know the code very well yet. Oh, Dad, it's just got to be Willie. Look, Dad said in reply, pointing to a pinpoint of light in the darkness far below. There's your answer coming.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 8, The Rock Slide Rescue, written by Sandy Zaug, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.